Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My favorite proverb. You know, every time I open that book, I'm reminded that it's God's word. It's a love letter to me. It's a love letter to you. They're powerful words. They work when you don't think they're working. The song, "He Shows You a Way," well, they do show you a way. You just got to look. You got to seek, and you've got to find, and you got to struggle. Okay? But anyways, 3, 1 through 12. "My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and unfaithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves the one he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
You know, if we got all of you, we'd have to call the towns a village. I don't know, but... And that's not the last one, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. But because Jesus is such a friend, he cares about us. He leads us. He leads us all ages. In the early 2000s, Rachel Gilson came east to attend an Ivy League college. She was pleased to be going far from home and from what she considered the oppressive moral restraints of her little town. She had been raised to disregard religious faith. And while Rachel had gotten to know, at least on the surface level, one or two classmates who were Christian believers, their answers to her questions about why they believed seemed weak to her at best. So she arrived at this Ivy League college, eager to learn more about why she was right and Christians were wrong. But she was surprised. Her freshman advisor had challenged the whole little cohort she was part of not to be prejudiced against faith, because prejudice is the opposite of an open mind. And they consider that key to discovering truth. Well, to Rachel's thinking, worse yet, her introduction to philosophy class introduced her to René Descartes, creator of the Cartesian plane, your X and Y, and the author of I Think, Therefore I Am, but also of A Proof for the Existence of God that they studied. She didn't find it convincing, but then she thought, well, I should find all the different proofs and dispel them all. Well, like a good millennial, she started asking all the important questions of the meaning of life and typing them into a Google search. Well, thankfully, that introduced her to the Bible itself, and secondly, to C.S. Lewis. She hated to admit it, but that man could think. He had been professor of literature at both Oxford and Cambridge. She couldn't dismiss him quickly. And then she was visiting a classmate in the classmate's room and saw a copy of Lewis's famous Mere Christianity in the young woman's bookcase. Rachel was too embarrassed to ask to borrow it, so she stole it. It changed her life. Unlike what some others said that the Bible taught, Rachel began to see consistency in the Bible's content and a further consistency with Lewis's explanations. She found she was quickly convinced not only the existence of God, but she ran smack dab into a disturbing truth: God's excellence, his moral excellence, left her very aware of her moral inadequacy. See, new moralities did not, after all, respect one's creator or love one's neighbor. Well, today, Rachel Gilson works for CRU, formerly Campus Crusade for Christ, in campus ministry in New England. She's helping college students discover and grow in a life lived in joyful relationship with Jesus. Jesus, who came into this world to love us, save us, and lead us in the building of a better world, the kingdom of God. In recent weeks, we've seen in the lives of Saul of Tarsus, Moses, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus the tax collector, that God's invitation to join him in his work leads to adjustments. Rachel's was pretty strong. Well, beginning with a total reorientation of our lives' trajectories, the adjustments that living in relationship with God makes in us also include a strong impact on our career paths. Following Jesus leads to right-angle turns that actually straighten our paths. When we yield the decision to how we will make a living or what we will do while doing so, yield it to the Lord. It's often scary at first, but the results are an improvement. Many of us are ready to name Jesus as Lord. But the idea of asking him what we should do for a living seems meddling. It frightens us, really. Is God going to choose something that doesn't fit us? Will he choose something? Has he chosen something that's going to result in our pain and torture? God is great and God is good. You know, we only trust people who have character and competency. The Lord of heaven and earth certainly exceeds in those criteria. Two scripture passages this morning will help us trust God with our career paths. Bob gave us one. He read from the book of Proverbs. You know, Proverbs often jumps from subject to subject, but it was easy to find a theme in those 12 verses. The maker of the universe cares for your heart. The heart, figurative heart, shows up three times in that passage. You know, the constant push, push, push of our culture may very well leave you feeling like no one cares for you. But your heart is the author's major concern there. Your heart. Here we see the love of God demonstrated in guidance and teaching provided for people who are interested in long life and peace. Someone who gives you that advice, advice that leads to long life and peace, cares about you. They want your success. They want your happiness. They love you. Young adults rebel. It's their job. But the young adult rebelling often simply chooses to follow someone else, someone their parents don't like. But later on, synthesis happens. What was wise in the code they grew up with? What is a new insight that they gained that makes a better path? It's generation after generation. It's what happens. Well, honest consideration of the ways of Jesus, who was tempted like ourselves, yet without sin, shows us ways of caring for self and others that have stood the test of time. They are lifelong pursuits. In the Proverbs, we are urged to practice two simple qualities our whole lives long. The first is loyalty, or more literally, faithful kindness. He says, "Never let this leave you." Never let it leave you. Someone says, never? Isn't that repressive? Isn't this more rules? Isn't life more than rules? Well, think about having a campfire in your backyard. Friends talking, roasting marshmallows, just enjoying kind of a peacefulness. Good time together. You can have a terrific time together, but only if you don't forget about fire safety. Fire safety doesn't have to be your own concern nonstop. But if you violate the rules of fire safety, long life and peace will not be what happens. Now, I don't care what kind of car you drive, the size of the house you live in, your idea of a water view might be an ocean beach or a fire hydrant. It doesn't matter. Success is found in relationships. That's what makes our lives. Being supported and encouraged by folk who care about you, sharing both joyful and difficult times. The path to that is loyalty, demonstrating concern for one another. We also demonstrate concern by faithfulness. You know, never let faithfulness depart from you. Keep it there. That's the other quality Proverbs urges us to keep around always. It might surprise you that that word, faithfulness, is also translated truth. That may seem odd to put together, but also gives you an insight into the Hebrew mind. We don't necessarily put truth and faithfulness together, but we need to. Truth is reliable. Someone whom you can count on to speak the truth is demonstrating reliability. You know, if I can count on you, if I can trust that you are always going to be straight with me, you know, then I know that you're being faithful to me. You're not playing tricks. You're not having fun at my expense. I get very tired of the, well, you have your truth and I have my truth kind of line. Truth tells you what is. Truth is reliable. Being married to Carol has meant that I have shared my life with at least 8 cats. One, a calico along the way, a calico we called Caper, was particularly entertaining, especially as a kitten. I don't know if she never took simple physics in school, this cat, or if she didn't understand what she was looking at. One day she was walking on our coffee table, exploring every corner. And there was a magazine on the table, you know, leaning out a little bit over the edge. Yeah, you know what's coming. We kept watching her go closer and closer. That, outside that, there you go. Yeah. Not the actual footage, but same idea. Can you run it again? How hard is it? I didn't kind of let you watch it unprotected. There you go. And I love it. Okay. Thank you. You know, it's like, she won't, will she? Oh, she did. Quick as a flash, tumbling on the floor in a blizzard of papers. Now, but of course, as a cat, she quickly regained her composure, walked away, glaring at both the magazine and the coffee table for having been so mean to her. But failing to understand the concept of reliability is not unique to Caper among the feline species. You know, they all do that. We need to trust our lives to what will bear our weight. Because of God's greatness and goodness, his ways are best. See, when we lean not on our own understanding and instead trust in the Lord with all our heart and on his reliability, you know, when we trust our own understanding, we're going to take a none too graceful tumble. So what does it look like to trust in the Lord with all your heart? What does it look like to not lean on your own understanding? Well, I want us to see what it looked like in the lives of some men who lived hundreds of years after the Proverbs that Bob read. I'm going to read to you from Matthew 4, 18 to 22. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Apparently, Dean Martins was the one who coined the phrase. He said of Frank Sinatra that it was his world and we're just living in it. Old Blue Eyes certainly was a talent. But there is a near cult around him, and some people, it goes far beyond the pale. I do not want to show up for the day of reckoning humming, "I did it my way." In reality, as John's gospel teaches us, all things were made through Jesus. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Therefore, it's his world. And we are only living it by his permission. Well, throughout his earthly life, Jesus had a habit of demonstrating his power and authority in the most unexpected ways. You know, he'd been raised a carpenter. He studied the scriptures, devoted himself to knowing and teaching the ways of the Lord. That's two areas of expertise. When Matthew tells us of Jesus' call to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he doesn't mention the miraculous catch of fish involved that we know from other gospels. It was just one more way that Jesus had demonstrated his casual expertise to these Galilean fishermen. They were flummoxed. They couldn't understand how he did it. But it was perfectly clear from what he said and what he did that this was the Messiah that they'd been praying for and waiting for in generations before them. If you've been raised to a trade, if people are depending upon you, then the very idea of changing the way you make a living can be scary, can be intimidating. At the same time, many people feel stuck in their jobs. This is how I know I can make a living, even if I don't really like it at all. You know, the idea of changing may feel like we're stepping on that magazine over the edge of the coffee table. Why did Peter, Andrew, James, and John leave their nets and follow Jesus? He told them he would make them fishers of people. They didn't understand everything Jesus meant by that, but they'd seen with their own eyes and heard with their own ears the proof in front of them that this was the Son of God, the man God had sent to save them, and through them, the world. He was offering them the opportunity to trade in fishing nets for eternal significance. I want what I do to matter. In 20 years of recruiting men and women of all ages to serve as cabin counselors for summer camp, over and over, I found what attracted otherwise sane men and women to give up a week of their time during the best weather of the year in order to live 24/7 with young people while living on hot dogs, chicken nuggets, bad coffee, and very little sleep, was the opportunity to participate in something of eternal significance. Angry teens softened, insecure young people found friends who believed in them, and those who felt unloved discovered the love of God that will never let them go. So in short, lives were changed, and these people were eager to be part of it. The volunteers always asked me as early as possible to tell them when camp week was going to be so they could clear the vacation time. Well, Peter, Andrew, James, and John left their nets for the same reason. And Zebedee, Jim and Jack's dad, was not only left holding the nets, he was glad of it. He was glad of it. You know, Zebedee doesn't get much credit today. He could have stopped his sons in an instant. He could have complained about being left to mend the stinky nets himself. But this was a sincerity test for Dad. He'd raised the boys to trust in the Lord with all their heart and to lean not on their own understanding. Now, when it was time to, fish or cut bait, he demonstrated that he truly meant what he had said. Imagine the excitement of seeing your children, your nieces and nephews, taking part in God's eternal plan. Nothing could make someone more proud. Now, I don't expect that any of these men besides Jesus understood what the apostles would live on, that there would be women of financial means who would support the ministry. But Jesus had called them. They would trust in the Lord with all their heart. We can be speeding down life's highway when suddenly the Lord calls us. Unexpectedly, we find ourselves asking the Lord, have I placed my career plans at your feet? Have I done so recently? Many of us, we're accustomed to traveling with a GPS providing driving directions to us. Well, can the scripture be our GPS for our life's journey and our career paths? What counsel does the scripture give us? Well, first of all, please understand that all honest work is honorable work. We need teachers, plumbers, truck drivers. We need computer programmers. We need even lawyers and politicians. Martin Luther said, in characteristically challenging language, that one can even be a hangman to the glory of God. However, what we do or how we do it may require adjustments from time to time. I have three different scenarios to ask. First, what do I do when my career path is at a crossroads? Danny had been a carpenter for years, but he was no longer satisfied and his body was rebelling. He sensed God calling him to do something else. Around age 40, he changed directions. And recently, he retired after 25 years of being a registered nurse. Larry was a lawyer. He sensed he was wasting his persuasive abilities on small fish. He loved the Lord and all that the Lord wanted to do in the lives of those he loved. Larry left the law books behind and immersed himself in the law of the Lord. After graduating, he took the pulpit of a church outside Detroit and has been there for 35 years. Curiously, his son, after 10 years of running a pie shop that some folk here, including Mary Lou, have been to, has entered seminary while his daughter has entered law school. God places us at a crossroads so that we can listen to his direction for our lives. To hear him, pray, keep reading the Bible, and ask the counsel of trusted Christian friends who've been walking with the Lord a while. Now, for some of us, we've been doing what we're doing for quite a while. The idea of changing lanes is pretty radical. You know, our career path is at cruising speed. You might be exactly where God wants you to be. Are you making the most of the opportunities you have for the sake of God's kingdom? Many parents of school-aged children spend more time with the people they work with than with their family members. You're still very important to your family members. But don't forget those you work with. Colleagues or customers. Develop the relationships. Befriend them. Care for them. Be ready with a word of witness or a gentle prayer. See what God does with it. Yet for some of you, you think your career path is in your rearview mirror. Or is it? We slow down as we age. But if we no longer have anything to pursue, no more influence to exercise, we will dry up physically, spiritually, emotionally. You might take a job. You might take a role in a volunteer organization. You might help someone in your family manage the otherwise overwhelming responsibilities of raising a child. And I could point out people who do each. There's one constant amid the variety of these new callings for older saints. They do their task as best they can, but the focus is on the people. That's what it's about, the people. They are doing ministry. They are catching people, fishing for people. Ray Cronell took an engineering degree at Northeastern University after assisting with the Berlin airlift while in the Army. He was hired by Uniroyal, the tire and chemical manufacturing company. He rose through the ranks and soon was traveling all over the world, tasked with supervising the building, equipping, staffing, and launching of factories, many different countries. But something funny happened along the way. Ray's relationship with God deepened. Instead of going to church because that's what was expected of him, that's what he was raised to do, Ray came to understand that God loved him deeply and had exciting plans for his life. Things changed at work and also beyond work. But something happened at home too. Instead of priding himself on doing all his repairs, because he could, and all his yard work, Ray, with the help of his wife, Marcia, took to purposefully identifying boys in their church and in the neighborhood that they could hire to do various tasks, kind of one at a time and focus on them. So they decided to change Ray's focus from building factories to building men. Ray would work with the boys, teach them how to do things. You know, it took three times as long to show someone how to do it than to do it himself. But he was investing. He'd encourage them. He'd affirm them. He'd give them guidance that extended far beyond the lawn work, beyond the house painting, beyond whatever chores needed doing. And when one boy kind of aged out, the next one would be identified. And this continues 20 years into Ray's retirement. Jesus has a habit of changing lives. He always has, always will. No matter the nervousness we may feel when he calls us, we do best to remember that the maker of the universe cares for our hearts. If we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, in all our ways acknowledge him, he will make straight our paths. So I mean it when I say that following Jesus leads to right angle turns that straighten our paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your personal care for each one. What an amazing God you are, that you know our names and the hairs on our head are counted. Lord, thank you. And so, Lord, hold our hearts as we seek to fearlessly and without compromise respond to your call. We praise you for being so creative in the ways you call. And help us to support one another as we seek to answer that call. Help us to walk faithfully in your steps, for Jesus' sake. Amen.